experience with the Lord today is even better than you anticipated. You know, I got a call from, one of my former co-workers at the plant was here, came up to my office on a Wednesday. And he said, you know, one of our co-workers is real sick. I used to be the production manager, and this guy that was real sick is head of sales, and so we worked very, very closely. He'd want something, he'd want a customer, he'd want it right like this, and so we'd have to get it done for him, and so we had a very close relationship. He was about my age. Anyway, this former co-worker that was here on Wednesday said he was just told in July that he's got pancreatic cancer. About my age or a year younger, maybe, this guy. And he's not there at the plant anymore, hasn't been for some years. He's in the Denver area. But Kurt, my co-worker in my office, said he's pretty sick. And so I went on Facebook, seeing if I could find him. I wanted to give him a word of encouragement about Jesus. Even though we were co-workers for many years in the 80s and 90s and when the plant was just getting going, I never took the time to talk to him about Jesus. And I thought, I need to do that. If he's pretty sick, I really need to do that and just see where he's at in his faith. And I got here to work Friday morning, less than 48 hours later than when I learned about this, made the attempt to contact him on Facebook, never heard back from him. And the email said, our coworker Dean is gone. And I thought, wow. In July, he was perfectly healthy, younger than I am. Wednesday, I learned about it, and Friday, he's gone. Kind of brings things into perspective, don't it? We don't have any guarantee of tomorrow, friends. And if you haven't got things squared away with Jesus Christ, don't put it off. Might be too late. We close our eyes in death, and we hadn't gotten right with Jesus, it's definitely too late. There's only one eternal destination for us at that point. The Bible is real clear about that. Do not put off getting right with Jesus. Jesus is the eternal difference. And so, with that in mind, we've been talking about being born again this last month. We've been talking about being filled with the Spirit. We've been talking about this idea of following Christ, following Jesus in everyday life. And today I'm going to turn a little different direction. I'm still talking about being a follower of Jesus, but I want you to consider for a moment, you can even answer, is it easy? It's not always easy. You say, well, Jim, why would I do it then? Because eternity is at stake. That's why we do it. That's why we confess our sins and cry out to Jesus Christ as Lord, because eternity is at stake. You say, but Jim, I'm not that bad a person. You know what? The Bible is clear about that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and we're coming up short. And so He provided to us Jesus. And so at some point we must embrace the cross. We must embrace the Son of God. We must receive that gift that Jesus is, our salvation by faith, so that when we close our eyes in death, we go on to be with Him forever. It's not about being good. It's about what's been done on the cross and our faith in that. But it's not always easy to be a Christian. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 this morning. And I would like you to open up your Bibles because I'm going to just pick some verses from 16 to 39. I'm not going to read every one of them. We don't have time. But I'd like you to open up your Bible if you've got one. If you don't, there might be one in the seat in front of you. And if you don't own one, we would love for you to have one. You see me afterwards, we'll get you one. We want you to have a Bible. We want you to spend time in the Bible. And so I'm looking at Matthew chapter 10, and this particular chapter is directive from Jesus to His 12 disciples. He's giving them some tools. He's giving them some instruction on going into the world. He tells them what to do. He tells them what they're going to encounter. He tells them how to respond. And so Matthew 10 is just about that. Jesus giving instruction to the 12 as he sends them out into the world at large around them. I'm going to pick it up at verse 16. So if you've got your Bible, that's where I'm at. Matthew 10, verse 16. Here's what Jesus said. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know what, brothers and sisters? You may have already discovered this. If you get Voice of the Martyrs or you read Christian publication or maybe even in your own life, there is opposition to the gospel. Anybody discovered that? Yes, there is opposition to the gospel. And that's what Jesus said to the disciples at that time. I'm going to send you out as sheep in the middle of wolves. That's not a very good equation. Having raised sheep, a few of our own, Dad's still doing it. Wolves and sheep, that's not a very good equation. And I'm sending you out, Jesus said, as sheep amongst that. And so it's not easy for them. It wasn't going to be easy for them that day. And it isn't necessarily easy for Christians today either. You look around the world and you listen to what's going on a little bit. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. He's spelling it out to them. This walk with Jesus is not going to be any cakewalk. It's not going to be any cup of tea. I'm going to call on you to go out there and make a stand for me, Jesus said. And he says the same thing to people today. When you go back to work tomorrow, you go back to your farm or your home or your business or whatever it is tomorrow, Jesus might be saying to you, it's not going to be easy, but I want you to take a stand for me. Verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them. He's talking about men again. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Verse 28, and do not fear those, that's men again, who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. 31, do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Over and over, he's reminding them, don't fear people. They're going to say all kind of things against you. Some of them are going to drag you to the courts. Some are going to persecute you. And when you look around other nations in our world right now, some of them are losing their lives on a daily basis for Christ. Jesus said, don't fear the people. And here's the context of those wonderful verses that so many of us know, beginning at verse 32. We heard them on Greg Laurie's speech just the other night, sermons just the other night. Therefore, Jesus said to his 12 as he gets ready to send them out and to believers today, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the context of what Jesus said that. I'm sending you out into difficult places. I'm sending you out into difficult times. Don't you dare deny me even when it gets difficult, Jesus said, or I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. That's the context that he gives us those verses. Do not deny me, he tells people of the 21st century, even in tough times. Verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace. Isn't that an interesting statement? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one that said, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, the peace I give you in John chapter 14. And here to his disciples, he says, do not think that I came to bring peace. You see, they're looking for peace. They're looking for peace from their oppressors, the Romans at the time. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Remember what John said last week? Remember we were looking at 1 John chapter 3? He said, there's going to come a time when the world doesn't know who you are. There's going to come a time when your family doesn't even recognize you. Why? Because you've been born again. You've got a new spirit. It's a new day. You don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You don't act the same. You don't involve yourself in the same things. Why? Because you have been born again. And Jesus said the same thing as John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 that we looked at last week. There's going to come a time when you may be at odds with your own household because of me. And so we see these things, and we've got this, we've got this idea now that it isn't always easy walking with Jesus. I read a little article last week. Let me try to be brief because it takes up a lot of countries, but here's some of what it said. Christians in the Middle East and Africa are being slaughtered, tortured, raped, kidnapped, beheaded, and forced to flee the birthplace of Christianity. And then he gives us this long list of what's happening in some of these countries to Christians. In Egypt, Christians are under the worst attack they have been since the 14th century. Because they're Christians. You know the unrest in Egypt. You know how ugly it's gotten there over the last couple of years, how difficult. And Christians are being stamped out. In Pakistan, I told you what happened straight from Salek. This author highlights that too. What I didn't realize from Brother Salek is that the church that was bombed by the Taliban bombers back about two Sundays ago was the All Saints Church, which had been there since 1883. It's not a brand new church. It had been there a good long time. And yet, the rebels come in and bombed it. And as this article said, and I mentioned this to you a week ago, lots of news reports say 70, 80 dead, but we heard personally from Pastor Salek and said there was 300 dead. They just went to worship. In Nairobi, Kenya, you heard about that on the news from the Associated Press, but not but a week or two ago, how a Somali Islamic militant group called Al-Shabaab went in there, guns drawn, and they literally, physically separated the Muslims from the Christians. They physically separated them and said to the and let the Muslims all go. And the captives, they asked questions about this and that and the other thing about Islam. And of course, not being able to answer that, they shot them. Christians. I did not come to bring peace, Jesus said, but to set families against each other. That's not his intent, to destroy your family. But when we are born again and we take a stance for Jesus Christ, we may be at odds with the government. We may be at odds with our wife, our husband, our family because of Jesus. He's not trying to tear families apart, but because when we take a stance for him, when we have been born again, we are a new creation. It's a new day. And all of a sudden, we may not look like we used to. And we may not be on the same path. We will not be on the same path we used to be. And we may not be on the same wavelength that even our families are. In Syria, you know the horror that's going on there. Been going on for I don't know how long. 100,000 plus dead. Christians, there are some in Syria. And they now fear extinction. It's in Malula, a city in Syria, where most of its inhabitants were still speaking Aramaic, the very language of Jesus. Still speaking it today. And that city has almost been wiped out and most of the Christians killed. Another lady from International Human Rights Lawyer, an expert on religious persecution, testified before Congress just a summer ago about the tragedies of the Iraqi Christians, where houses are being ransacked, churches are being bombed, hundreds are being kidnapped and killed. This is going on all over the globe because they're Christians. And I was thinking about those words of Jesus this week. He's the Prince of Peace. And we can know peace in Him even when the world around us is in terror. We can know peace. But when we trust Him and we follow Him, you might find some opposition. You might experience some. I heard a professional athlete on Christian radio just yesterday when he was drafted into, I don't remember which team he went to from where to where, but when he got there, everybody knew there he was a Christian, and they ostracized him to begin with. He had to be direct about going to people and trying to make friends because they knew this guy was a Christian. If you're in post-secondary education, you're going to get challenged in your faith because you're a Christian. And you might even be wondering today, is it even worth it to be a Christian? And brothers and sisters, let me assure you, it's worth it. Jesus died on the cross to make it all worthwhile. We might be wondering, why would anybody over there want to become a Christian? Because it's an eternal difference. The Prince of Peace takes up residence in us, and just because there may be war all around me and they may even kill my body, I've got the Prince of Peace living inside of me. And when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to see Jesus. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, Jesus said. Friends, when we've been born again, we've gone from lost to found. When we've been born again, we've changed direction from hell bound to heaven bound. Yes, there might be some difficult days. There might be some persecution, even in our great nation. You might get laughed at. You might get ridiculed. You might have to sit at the table all by yourself because you're a Christian. Jesus said in John 16:33 to his disciples, "You will have trouble." He said that. John 16:33, "You will have trouble in the world." But then he said, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I say hallelujah. And so, friends, why do I talk about these things today? Is it easy being a Christian? It's not always easy. It's not always a cakewalk. It's not always a bed of roses. Why do I talk about this today? Am I trying to convince you that this cosmic battle that we're wrapped up in is real? It's real, all right. It's real. Am I trying to convince you that this is all going on all over the world? There must be something about this Jesus. There must be. People are dying for Jesus all over the globe. Am I trying to get you to ask yourselves, is it worth it? You have to ask yourself then, do I want to be part of heaven in eternity with Jesus or an eternity without Him? Do I just give up in my faith when persecution comes? Do I just throw in the towel and say, this is too hard? Read some of the books of martyrs. Read some of the accounts of people that have died for their faith in prison camps, burned at the stake, standing on ice until hypothermia takes them. Read some of their accounts, and none of them would have changed a thing. Because when they close their eyes in death, they're going home to be with Jesus. Let me close with this. Our time is up. I want to give you some facts today. And then we're going to close with that little song that our praise team ended with earlier. We're going to close with that song because I want to give you an invitation to think, do you really know the Prince of Peace? Do you really have the peace of soul? Have you ever suffered any persecution? Has everybody ever ridiculed you for your faith? Maybe nobody of you knows you have a faith. Because we still look just like the world. some facts, friends. Jesus is real. Our Heavenly Father's love for us is real, but so is the devil and his tricks and his trades against us. Remember, Jesus said the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he has declared open season on Christians. Does that mean we do not take Christ as Lord and be born again? No, because he has overcome. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. But it also reminds us that not everything is a cup of tea. Not everything is easy when I decide to be a follower of Jesus. Your faith may be tested. Your family may disown you. Happens all the time around the world. They put on Christ, the family disowns them. Some of them have the legal rights to kill them in their religions. But heaven is real, friends. Hell is real too. And the writer of Proverbs said hell is never full. It's hungry and never full. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us, that we would put our faith in Him and trust in Him and serve Him and walk with Him. And so let me ask you, if those same kind of radicals that stormed into the shopping mall or whatever it was in Nairobi, Kenya, would come into this church or into your home or into this community and look for evidence of you being a Christ follower, would they find any? If they ask you questions, are you a Christ follower, and they had a gun pointed, would you say yes or would you deny him? That's where those verses come in when Jesus said to his disciples, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. How's your faith holding up, friends? When the persecution hits, how's it going to hold up? I hope so. I hope so. Because you've got the rock to stand on when you know Jesus Christ as Lord.